So why did you decide to go for a broadcast station to begin with? I mean, you have several successful ventures. You have the online station. You have the Wave Lab, your farm there in New York State.
Wave Farm.
And you've done things down in New York City. And especially since, you know, you're going to be broadcasting to a somewhat more rural area. I mean, why go broadcast? Why saddle yourself with the big electric bill and the big tower?
Well, I think mostly because, you know, we've been talking the talk about low power FM and about community radio for 10 years, about how other folks should, you know, step forward and move and get that together and get community radio in their neighborhoods. And, you know, mostly we're talking about low power FM because that was pretty much the only option. This full power FM came up, and, you know, I think we did hear at first that there were going to be other applications from the community, and all those people never really got it together. You know, it's a lot of work, a lot of, you know, time went into us figuring out the application, working with the engineer and the lawyers, and raising money and all those sort of things. And I think the other, you know, one of the local high schools was one of the people. They talked to us and said they were considering applying, but they never had the time to work on, you know, the grants and all the application FM to get the FM license. And, you know, now we're going to work with them and get them on the air part of the time. And I think actually everybody that we heard was thinking about applying is now working through us. So I think we were just the best equipped in the area to get this done and get the application in and have a successful application because, you know, we had the experience. You know, we've gone to Washington and lobbied at the FCC and met some of those people. We've worked with the Prometheus folks in Philadelphia for a very long, long time. All that experience led us to putting in a successful application, whereas some of these people that thought about it might not have been able to do that on their own. So I think we were just a stronger nexus in this area. And we wanted to, you know, we do these Radio Labs workshops across the country where we tell people about low-power FM and tell them to call their representatives and get it through. And, you know, maybe that'll happen now. Dingell got a... kicked off the Commerce Committee today or yesterday?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I heard that and replaced with Henry Waxman.
So maybe is that, have you heard anything about LPFM in regards to that? Because he was kind of the sticking block, as far as I knew, the past year.
In the House, he tends to be more of a sticky wicket on it than others. I don't know Waxman's take on it offhand, so I haven't heard anything.
Well, it's got to be better than Dingell, I think.
Yeah, so. Right.
So hopefully you'll be interviewing lots of people in next year or two about the new low power station that they're putting in different communities around the country.
Exactly.
But we've been following that issue and we wanted to walk the walk on an issue that we've been talking about for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And here's a question, and feel free not to answer it, but since 103.9 Free 103.9 dabbled with micropower radio in the past, that didn't come back to haunt you at all? In the application process, apparently?
I think no one realized that. they set up rules in Congress, I think, about – isn't there a rule in the low-power FM bill?
There is, yeah, exactly. Regarding low-power FM, there is a rule.
Right, that no pirates could apply for a station for a low-power station. But there was never that rule for full-power stations, so –
I bet you the NAB is kicking itself now.
Yeah, or someone's preparing that that legislation any day now. I think even if somebody raised it, Alan Corner, our lawyer, said, it's not really going to matter because they don't have any regulation that says that, and they have to adjudicate these things on a point system, and that's not involved in the point system. So I think besides you, the shortwave pirate website is the only other place that's actually noticed it, even though our name does seem strange.
right, you know, that you'd be Free 103.9 when you were at least an internet station without
an official
frequency. Yeah, it's
going to be more confusing now because we're going to be 90.7, which doesn't have anything to do with 103.9. You know, like, now people drive by a wave farm and they Say, I tuned in 103.9 and I heard Howard Stern. That was, when, I guess, before he went on the satellite.
Right.
When we first moved up here, they said, we hear Howard Stern. And they're like, no, no, we're not on that FM radio. But now we're going to confuse people even more. I mean, that's they're going to be on both ends of the dial looking for us, I guess.
And so will the internet stream continue sort of as is? Will you also have a stream of your live air feed? Do you even anticipate maybe having multiple streams going on?
Yeah, we're definitely going to have multiple streams, and we're going to keep a radio or transmission art-based stream that's going all the time that's just going to be focused on that those kind of radio experiments. And then there'll be a second, or perhaps two or three feeds of the live radio feed. And then we're also going to have these internet streams at the different locations, venues in the community that'll just come on when there's something going on there, if the performer or the lecturer or whoever it is agrees that their voice can be on the air, then each of the venues will press a button and turn on some software and start a web stream that'll be listed on our web pages and on their own web pages, and people can listen that way too. So we're going to have many different web streams when we get this going.
Do you have any sense of what your web listenership is these days, or on average?
Any one time, there could be anywhere from, like two or three people listening to 50 or 60 people listening. And, mm-hmm. When we have live events, I think we get probably our most, live events that we advertise, like that Scanner is going to be on at 4 o'clock on Saturday, then, we get much more listenership. We can't really tell, we get some sense of an idea of where these listeners are, but it's not very exact. But we do get listeners from all over the world, depending on the time of day. I think later at night, our time, we get more listeners in Asia, and early morning more in Europe, and then as the day goes on, it's more United States listeners. But we do get listeners from around the world, day or night around the clock.
And will you continue to take into account the global listenership even as you program an FM station, which is inherently local, at least in terms of the traditional broadcast feed?
We will, to some extent. But we're going to use those super late night hours where, we're in such a rural area that it's going to be difficult to get live DJs at 2 in the morning to come, the Wave Farm is about 25 minutes from the closest, like, large town that isn't really even that large at all either.
So are you going to get a lot of futons? Is that
the Wave Farm, the study center building that we're putting in, does have two bedrooms for our residency program, so mm-hmm. I think they may get used sometimes for for other purposes. But we're going to use the late night, to bring more of that international media art. We may have some things live from Asia or Europe at those times, or we run a show with the radio network now, and that'll probably air at midnight or 3 in the morning or something. So there may be some German broadcasts and some other language broadcasts in the middle of the night here for Insomniacs in the Green and Columbia County. So we're going to hoping the late nights and Saturdays, to some extent, are going to be times where people tune in because they don't know what exactly is going to be on,
mm-hmm.
Because it'll be less random. I mean, it'll be much more random and less structured during those times. So there'll be international broadcasts. There'll be some local, we might, in the afternoon drive time show, just have a 5-minute interview with the local mayor. But at 3 in the morning, we might run the whole 45-minute interview on it, unedited. So I think we're going to do it that way and still bring in the international radio community as well, and have them mingle a little bit with the local community.
So through it all, you really hope to keep that mix of both serving the local audience and the local community, but making sure that bedrock of what the foundation is sort of built on, your nonprofit is built on, the Sonic Arts still maintains there.
Yeah, and we'll be working with the local sound artists, mm-hmm. I think heavily, and we'll give them a real good platform for their work that kind of missing here these days, you know, at this point in this area in the Hudson Valley. You know, they have to go to New York City to perform, or they have to go to Albany. It's the closest, you know, large city to here, to the north. And so local artists will also have a much larger platform for their work. And you know, like the work we'll do with the schools and the local towns and politicians, we're also going to have all kinds of different local artists, visual artists and sculptors, and we'll be able to come on the air and talk about their work. And in a way, you know, there's just not, where we are, a newspaper or a magazine or a radio station where everyone can go to find out what performances there are, you know, on Friday night if you want to go out and see something. You have to really, like, search through several different magazines or newspapers or websites. And we hope we can really be the nexus for the whole artistic community and the nexus for people that are looking for news reporting in the community, too, because, like I said before, there's not a lot of that, too.
So about how long do you have until you'll be able to get the station on the air, do you reckon?
Well, the FCC gives you 3 years from the date that you get your construction permit. So we have 3 years from October 17th to get on the air, or else that we give back the license. We don't think it's going to take us that long, and we're hoping for the summer of 2010, so about a year and a half.
Okay.
We're hoping, but you know, we have to raise a lot of money and fill out a lot of grants and build a lot of studio shelves and tables and all sorts of things to get to that point. And you know, right now we're working on one big grant, but we're also working on reaching out to the community and finding the people that are going to be interested in getting a station on the air as much as possible. And, you know, so we can get them involved now, they'll feel a real sense of ownership in the station, and, you know, we'll really want to make it the best station they can. So we're really looking for the community to step up at this point. And if anybody is in the area, you know, if they've always dreamed about doing a radio show, now's the time. Or if they see how this radio show could really help the community in many different ways, then now's the time to step up and help. And it doesn't necessarily mean giving money. It could just mean giving some time or experience or information, or, you know, there's many different ways to help put a radio station on the air. So we're looking for help in all kinds of ways.
And your website is free103.9.org, correct?
Yeah, 3103.9.org, yeah.
And Tom Rowe, Program Director of Free 103.9, home of Transmission Arts, and soon to be home of a radio station in Greene County, New York, in the Hudson Valley. Thanks so much for joining me here on Media Geek.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Take care. I look forward to talking to you when the station is fired up.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
All right. You too.
And that brings to a close this edition of Media Geek. I'll be back in one more week with more news and views of our media environment. In the meantime, check it out online at MediaGeek.net, home to the Media Geek blog. As well, the radio show is at radio.mediageek.net. You can download it, you can listen to it in your browser, or you can subscribe to the podcast and get automatically downloaded to your computer or MP3 player. And if you have any comments about the program, please do send them to me, paul@mediageek.net. Thanks a lot for tuning in. You are listening to WNUR FM, Evanston, Chicago, which is Chicago's sound experiment. And coming up here, we're about to bridge into Street Beat. You do want to stay tuned.
All right. Let's get started. You may learn something.
toy, toy, toy.